Friends in Christ, do you ever have a hard time making a commitment? You're probably thinking, yeah. And you're not alone. Most people have a hard time making a commitment, especially a major commitment. In 1960, 72% of all adults over 18 years old were married. Today, less than half of that age group are married. It's no secret marriage has declined. When I was a young priest, we used to have weddings every weekend, sometimes two or three weddings on the weekend. Now, we have a few weddings. There's a little uptick, but still much fewer than 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Of course, there's many reasons for that. But one of the reasons for sure is people are afraid of a commitment, especially a lifetime commitment. Why? They're afraid maybe it won't work out. They're afraid of the unknown. Sometimes it's because they want to keep their options open. I've got a good friend. I always tease him that when we try to make plans, he always hesitates until a day or two before. I say, well, why can't you commit? And he won't admit it, but I say, you're waiting for a better option, aren't you? Do you have any friends like that? We're afraid of commitment. 40 years ago, before I was ordained a deacon, I struggled with the commitment that I was going to be asked to make my deacon ordination of lifetime celibacy, and lifetime obedience. You make that commitment as a deacon, and then you repeat it again when you're ordained a priest. So I made those commitments 40 years ago in 1979. And before my ordination as a deacon, I really struggled with that. I knew that God was calling me to be a priest, but I thought, can I really commit myself to celibacy for the rest of my life? As you know, I come from a large family of 8 children, and I was thinking, I want to be like my father, find a wonderful woman, and have 8 kids like my dad. And I don't want to be lonely. Can I commit myself to celibacy? And then I thought, obedience. You might know I'm kind of an independent person. And I thought, can I be obedient to a bishop? What if he wants to send me someplace where I don't want to go? Can I make that commitment? Well, I did make that commitment. I believed God was calling me to be a priest, so I made those commitments. And then about 6 months after I was ordained, I was praying one day, and it just dawned upon me, I feel so free. I feel so free. Why is that? Because when we make a commitment that the Lord Jesus asks us to make, he gives us total freedom. It's contrary to what the world teaches. The world teaches us that we got to keep our options open to be free. But St. Paul, what did he say today in that passage from Galatians? He said, for freedom, Christ set us free. You were called for freedom. You were called for freedom. So when God calls you to something, that gives you total freedom when you say yes to that call. I realized I feel more free than ever. So the struggle with making commitment, though, is nothing new. Maybe it's more today than it was 50 years ago. But we look at today's gospel, people had struggled with commitment even in the days of Jesus. We see those 3 disciples that come running up to Jesus and want to follow him. They want to follow him. They want to be his disciples. But each one of those 3 struggles with commitment. The first one comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. And we might think, well, what's wrong with that? But wherever you go, Jesus says, no, I don't want that condition, wherever you go. I want you to follow me, period. It's like James and John, the sons of thunder that we hear about, the sons of Zebedee. Elsewhere in the gospel, we hear they wanted to call down lightning on the Samaritans today. And elsewhere in the gospel, we hear they wanted to sit one on the right, one at the left of Jesus. They wanted to follow Jesus, but not for Jesus. They wanted to follow Jesus for what they could get out of following Jesus. They wanted prestige, power. Lord, we'll follow you, but we want to be at your right and left. We want to reign with you. Jesus says, no, I want you to follow me for me, just out of love for me. It's kind of like if you get married to a rich woman, do you marry that person for her money or for herself? No woman wants to be married for her money. She wants to be married for herself. And it's just like Jesus. He doesn't want us to follow him for what we can get out of religion, for what we can get out of being a disciple. Sometimes we think, well, I'll be a faithful disciple so that I can have my prayers answered, so that I can have peace, so that God will keep me safe or keep me healthy. None of those things are bad, and God gives us great things. But he says, Jesus says, I don't want you to follow me for what you can get out of me. I want you to follow me because you love me. And the third person comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, I will follow you. Let me first say farewell to my family at home. Or wait a minute, I missed the second, sorry. The second one said, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus gives this remark, this answer, like, what? Let the dead bury their dead? What does he mean? Does Jesus mean that we're supposed to leave dead corpses and not bury them? Obviously not. We know that Jesus always uses hyperbole to teach. And so what does he mean? What he means is, don't let your past bury you. Don't let your past get in the way of following me. He says, let that all be buried. Sometimes we're so constricted by our past sins, our past failures, the bad decisions we've made, the bad experiences that we've had. And so it hinders our relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, no, let the dead bury their dead. Bury your past. Follow me. I have redeemed your past. That's what he did on the cross. He redeemed all of our past sins and failures. And the third one, this is the one I can really relate to. The third one comes running up to Jesus and says, Lord, I will follow you, but let me say farewell to my family first. And we think, well, what's wrong with that? Doesn't Jesus want us to be friendly to our family, our loved ones? Of course. Again, Jesus is using hyperbole. But what he means there is, I want to be first in your life. If you follow me, I want me to be first. We put Jesus first. And I can really relate to this because when I was making the decision if I should be a priest, I thought, gosh, I don't want to be lonely. That's a common misconception. People think, oh, priests are lonely. I was praying the other day, and I realized in 39 years as a priest, I can't remember a time that I've been lonely. And if you wonder why, read the first edition of Go Make Teach News, which is in the bulletin today. That's the reason priests are not lonely. God always gives us what we need. He's not going to call us to do something that we cannot do. So if Jesus is calling you to be a priest, he'll give you what you need. Now, obviously, most of you are not called to be a priest. Maybe some of you are. But whatever God is calling you, he's calling you to follow him unconditionally. And he's calling you to follow him without excuses. Without any excuses, and he will provide. Friends, Christ, for freedom, Christ set us free. This Thursday, we're celebrating freedom, that we have as Americans. Let's celebrate today the freedom we have in Christ. If we are faithful disciples of Christ, following him unconditionally, without excuses, without expecting anything other than Jesus himself, he will give us everything we need. Today, when you come to communion, hear Jesus say to you, "Follow me," and then respond, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, no conditions."